You dickheads.
Welcome to episode 25. This one's called Hammer Time. And it's called Hammer Time because we have the one, the only Christian Metz, Mr. Hammer himself. We talk to him. Campbell, how are you?
I'm glorious, and that was a glorious interview that we did with Mr. Christian Metz. He is the hammer. He hammers away at everything.
I don't know how he does it. I don't know where he finds the time.
No, he's hammering all sorts of body parts and Guild Ball tournaments. I believe he's actually, I think we mentioned this during the cast, he's only lost one tournament game. So that's pretty interesting. I think that bodes pretty well for an amazing world, the national, the world titles, in fact, at SteamCon US. So that's going to be pretty cool.
Man, I hope he's got his hammer ready. Do you think he calls his hammer Mjolnir?
Highly possible. I think this is definitely a possibility.
Do you think he was the original guy responsible for putting Jesus Christ on the cross?
It's controversial.
We're going to offend our religious listeners.
Yeah, absolutely. Shout out to them. Yeah. So, in true Double Dodge fashion, we get on the best, and we thought we'd like to back up like double German. So we've gone German. We'd like to go German again. I hear there's a lot of ladies out there like.
Mate, it's like having sauerkraut three times, with your bratwurst. It's that good.
Absolutely.
It's like strudel. Like Lederhosen and giant mountains, Germanic comparisons.
Absolutely, and with some David Hasselhoff in there, possibly.
Indeed. I'm not sure where we're going with this, but we have a nice chat with Christian. Talk to him about his German Nationals games. We talk to him about the meta in general, how he sees it. He's playing a bit of Union as well, so we touch on that. He basically tells us we're shit blokes and that we know nothing, and we realise we do know nothing. But in a way, that makes us the wisest men of all in the matter of Socrates or similar.
I had an epiphany, in that moment when we were interviewing him, and he basically told me that I had no idea. Yeah,
so polite about it.
He was, in a German way, though. I mean, and that's what made it soften the blow. Like, my ego was damaged, but it was like he was still patting me on the ass, saying, come on, mate, come on, you're still in the game.
Stupid Antipodean, I like you. Let us be friends.
Yes. Yeah. So I believe we are still friends with Christian. He's a champ. And, I think we maybe just bust on into it and come out the other side, hopefully not too scathed.
Indeed. Get your hammer on. Let's go.
On the line, we have a man who's been described as having a gaming or tabletop autism. He is the German champion. We have one, Christian Metz. Christian, how are you, sir?
I'm perfectly fine, thank you.
Fantastic. We've also got David straight from Vindaloo. David, how are you?
I'm feeling about 100 pounds lighter, but good evening to you both.
Indeed. So usually at the start of our interviews, we like to throw three questions at you. So, David, I believe you've got them prepared.
I do. Christian, as part of helping our guests to relax here on Double Dodge, we ask them three questions. And the first question is, what is it like to live in one of the last remaining bastions of democracy in the free world?
Yeah, I think it's fine. I mean, we have our own problems here, but so in the big picture, I can't complain yet, I think.
Would you like to make pointed remarks about America and Britain at this point in time?
No, I don't think so. I'm mostly stay out of this and try to teach my kids to be better humans.
That's great.
Brilliant.
Not my kids, the kids in school.
I mean, the best revenge is living well, and I feel that maybe Germany is doing that right now.
Yeah, at the moment, I think I'm happy to live in Germany.
Yes. Well, congratulations. It seems to be working out pretty well for you. Question number two. We like to do research here on Double Dodge and learn interesting and new facts about other countries. So in the course of our research, I came to understand that the German government pays for its disabled people to have sex. Would you like to comment on that?
I really didn't know this. But Yeah, I think it's a little bit difficult. I don't know if it's prostitutes or something like this. Then it should be more of a gray area, but I think the idea is okay.
I feel it's a human effort to bring about some kind of karmic rebalancing. I'm not sure, but I think it sends a very good message. What a wonderful initiative. Question number three. You may have heard us ask this question before, but it's your turn now. What have you got to say to Alex Botts?
I only spoke a few words with him on the WTC, so I think he's nice.
Not much, by the sounds of it. You have not much to say to Botsy. Okay.
Not.
I'm getting a sense, Christian, that you're a man who is more about deeds than words anyway.
I like his gutter play, and because after the German Nationals, I put down my Masons and get out my Union, and now I play a lot Rage and Gutter because I want to do this funny thing with gutter. I think credits to him a little bit.
Wow.
Normally I play Black Heart.
Right. Well, there you go, Alex. I think you're building your fan base one heart at a time. He may be the people's champion yet. Well, thank you for playing the quickfire question round, Christian, and I think that leads us nicely into the guts of this episode, which is you had a pretty good run at the German Nationals, and you ended up winning it to absolutely nobody's surprise.
Yeah, to mine, but it worked.
Yeah. So why don't you set the scene for us? Tell us a little bit about it. Maybe we'll go through your games and yeah.
Normally it was a 2-day event with the first day a qualifier and a little bit games. I really wanted to go both days because I hadn't played since WTC, but then I fucked a little bit up and thought I had three weekends to get something for work done. Not something important, and then I looked on my calendar and only 2 weeks, so 2 weekends, and both weekends are already planned a little bit. So I just went on Sunday and played the championship finals. Well, that was not so good. I was really tired and worked because of work, and I just go there. I played one game with Farmers the week before. And I didn't even know at the beginning if I had my Farmers or my Masons packed from the WTC or from the game before. Luckily, when my Masons, there was a normal harmony in there, but I found the rest of the Masons, so I played then Masons and I played Hammer 4 times.
I'm shocked by this. 4 games of Hammer, 4-round tournament. How'd you go round one? Who was your opponent? How'd the game roll out?
It was a guy named Sebastian, I really don't know. It was Union. Was season brisket, super aggressive with grace for double quick food court, I think, and missed and decimate and just push in the direction of ball and goal. So I tried to kill the ball with flint and it worked for the most time. At one point, he uses his legendary and a bonus time one to get to Flint and double tackle because I had missed the bonus time counter attack. I need to roll 3 4s out of 5 to get the push dodge. Didn't work, and so he got a ball and could shoot the goal, but I think it was his only point. And rest of the time, I don't know, I think I got 4 takeouts over the in the game and 1 goal at the end, I think, something like this. But it mostly worked as planned because I'm pretty sure at one time there will be a legendary from Season Brisket and she will make a goal because it's just
absolutely. Do you find, obviously you've got a beta, side. Do you like facing the scoring sides? Do you find that, knowing that there's going to be a point at which they try to score, and when they do, you can just kill the ball some more and keep on killing them? Is that a comfort kind of area for you?
Yes, I think so. But I normally play aggressively on the ball too. Like in the WTC, I had most goals from our team, and I think by a lot.
He did, so, didn't you? I remember that.
Normally with Wind and Hammer and even Maggot, because I push far up the field, I really shoot a lot of goals and go aggressively in this direction. But in this sense, with Brisket and all the other super striker union fast stuff, yeah, I killed them all, most of the game.
Yeah, absolutely. And it seems like a pretty fair play. You don't want them putting 3 goals in really quickly on you. So
normally I could have snake skin for this, but I didn't think I need her for this game, and there are not so much men, so she's got weaker.
Yeah. So she's in your 10 player roster?
I think so. She was in my WTC, and I think I played the same list.
Yep. So then you go on to round 2. Who did you get paired up against there?
Christoph, Mr. Mario, it's one of the little bit more traveling German guys, I think. Mortician player. He played Oberos and Casket, and it was really close game. Was one of the best Casket plays I've ever seen, and really he really used him to shut my team down effectively. He hard rolled a 3 on Hammer for the what is called heavy burden.
Yeah.
Hard rolled the 3 heavy burden, my Hammer, and then my first turn was kind of destroyed. And after this, he shot a goal, I think, on the beginning of the second turn with Obelis, and I really fought back in the game, but then it came down to if he could Pine Box Tower. I think Fugishki gone with him after the Raven far on the right side on the pitch, and so he became isolated, and the Casket runs behind him, and after a lot of takeout, they all come back like in 2 turns from this side on the pitch, so they all go to tower and build him up for the pine box, and I try to aggressively heal him as lot as I can and try to get him out there, but it was really, really close, because with the Raven I couldn't get to the Raven, so he could shoot a goal at any time. But then I got my last takeout before he could kill tower, but I think he just was on a few boxes left, as it was really
nice. So 12-8, and he was looking for the...
Probably, I think it was 12-4 because he didn't shoot the Raven goal, but because he wanted to first time.
Yes.
But it's sometimes, you know, you have a
It's a lot score, closer than the score.
And it's really close. It was a really close game because 8 points can go fast in this game.
Oh, especially with the, you know, your models like that and Vet Catalyst that can put, you know, 4 on the board and then a goal. You know, you're talking 2 activations.
Yeah, I already told my home mortician player play more Casket, and I think I'm pretty sure about this is Modigus bonkers so much.
Yeah, it makes me want to play them.
Yeah, it begins with a 2 momentous damage on 2. This is a really good playbook result. I got it on Merit or on Honor, like, for example. Silence has a 2, by the way. He's really good in beating people up too.
Yeah, he is. He's surprisingly good at it.
Yeah, and then he has this ghostly visage, which he can use multiple times, so he can just shut down charges all across the board. Mm. He has the really good heavy burden, even with K-Bug result, if he needs it, or if he can. And then he is absolutely unkillable. I mean, 3-1 tough fight and reanimate, combination of tough fight and reanimate is really ridiculous. And the legendary play, which is really, really good too.
Yeah, that legendary point
is massive.
Yeah, I do like that he shortens the mortician's game. Like, if you can get that legendary off, you know, you're either 2 goals or 1 goal, 2 takeouts. You know, 1 goal, 3 takeouts, effectively. It's a much shorter game. I think that's how they like to play as well.
A few days ago, I think I played against Veteran Graves and Casket. Yeah, on Friday, I played against Veteran Graves and Casket, and there can be points fast.
Grave Digger plus Legendary.
Yeah, Grace Hero, Greybook and Castle's Legendary. I don't know if there is anything, but probably there's something to look more into.
Yeah.
And I think the 3-2 stat guy in defense 3, armor 2 has gone better in this game at the moment. That's what I like about my tower and Maggot 2.
You're preaching heresy again, Christian.
I don't know if there's anything, because normal Graves is really, really good.
Yeah, but, I mean, people were also saying Hammer is shit, and I think you seem like a curious guy who's not afraid to forge his own path, so I don't know. Maybe veteran Graves is going to be everywhere soon. Who knows?
No, I don't think so. Even Hammer isn't anywhere except Germany, I think.
Right.
Yeah. I think Christian's on the payroll. I think he's just trying to sell a few veteran Graves for Steamforged.
Well, I don't know, man. I reckon he's trying to keep it on the down low, like not give away secret German tech.
I'm actually like debating morticians just for a bit of a freshener. Like, I love the idea of scalpel, like dragging people back, and then casket just putting them in the box. I think it sounds so much fun.
This one we tested, but I think for Scalpel, you need a good knockdown guy. And this can't be Casket because he's really shitty at it. So then you could probably pay Ghast better.
You take Ghast, yeah.
I think Ghast for Overgrowth is not so good because Ghast is really squishy. But in the for the knockdown in the Scalpel lineup, I think he's a lot better.
Can you not play Avarice and Greed? I know we're going on a bit of a tangent here, but Avarice and Greed and the Scalpel one's pretty good. Because knockdown on the one is pretty good.
You can try. Why not?
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. I like this. So round two's done. You're feeling pretty confident at this point. You then draw who in round three? I already know the answer to this, but I want to hear you say it.
Yeah, Timmy, of course.
Timmy. And were you nervous going into this one, or have you two played enough games against each other that you kind of you almost know how the other plays, and it's a bit of a 50-50 coin flip as to who makes the mistakes first kind of thing?
No, I don't know. He just has a little bit of bad luck against me, or he makes stupid mistakes against me. Something.
You can sledge him. That's fine. You can say whatever you want about Timmy. He won't take it to heart, I'm sure.
Yeah, it's the guy. I think the last, also not in the Nationals, the time before we played, or two times before, I don't know, he just gets in there with pinwise, and she gave two or three chances to make a pass and always misses, and something like that.
Ah, my word.
And in this game, I really thought he would play pinwise, but he... Because he already said in the on the WTC in the games he would find difficult, or he's not so sure about if he can win, should play pinwise after the game against bots, he said this. Because he is a lot more, he knows a lot more about pinwise and pinwise play, and not a lot more, I think, perhaps than any other human on this planet. But he chickens out and uses Bagista again. So yeah, that's a matchup I have played a lot of times. And I think Hammer with Veteran Harmony in the background is really good against Bagista.
Great.
I'm not really good because engineers are stupid, but it's good enough.
Yeah.
Engineers are stupid. Did you want to expand on that a little bit, Christian?
On the engineer thing?
Yeah.
Okay, you have ridiculous defensive tech and good ranged game and a good kicking game and an okay takeout kills in personal game. Mm-hmm. So you have, if you look at the whole defensive line, you have a few models with tough height. At least you have Hoist and Ballista and sometimes Colossus. Then you have a few models with close control, like Velocity on Colossus, and you have a few a lot of models with Reanimate and Stoic and Sturdy, and then sometimes there are defensive lines from 4 def and 1 armor or 5 def with Reanimate or Tough Height or Sturdy, and this is ridiculous. That's the first thing. So then you have the good kicking game. I think this is, they have all your four kick and four kick dice, and a few have a range of 8, or Bagista with his legendary long shot, and they, most of them are fast. Yeah, Colossus has 6-8 movement, the mother hoist shenanigans, something like this. And then you have a good range game with, again, Hoist and Ratchet with Tooled Up and Magista with Mind Fear to try to punish other guilds to get into them and the Deadbolt. And then you even have a good takeout game because of the controlling nature, not as much as Smoke, but of the controlling nature of the range game. There are only one or two enemy players in the team, and then everybody crowds out one of them, and Bagista goes in and just murders people. He has a good enough playbook, especially with Tooled Up, to kill every player in the game, almost every player.
So, if I hear you right, what you're saying is people who play engineers are bad people.
Yeah, I think so.
Right.
But I think they suffered a long time, but at the moment, I think Season 3 engineers are ridiculous good. Probably the best team in the game.
Stop telling people. Stop telling people. I don't like people jumping on this bandwagon. Shout out to Andrew from Singled Out. Go back to your Masons. That's fine. I've got no problem with this.
Nothing to see here. Move along.
Exactly.
Yes. So, round 3?
Yeah.
So, it started normally. He kicks more. I don't know. Probably. Perhaps I missed a pass. It is on Twitch, on the page 5 Twitch channel. And then he, for whatever reasons, tried to make something really stupid. And his one momentum that he got from, I don't know, from some character player to overclock velocity, which kicked. And she, to get to the ball behind, I think, to Mason's player, she, what is it called? She made a 2-inch dodge. And charged for 3, and then he gets countercharged by Brick. So it was the first thing. He thought about the countercharge from Brick. That was not the problem. But he already forgotten that he used his 2-inch dodge, so he can't get into melee after the knockback push. And he forgot that he had already spent his 1 point of momentum.
Ugh.
So he couldn't stand up again.
Sad. That's sad. Yeah. Bad times.
And was the game pretty much done there, like you felt?
No, it's just a 2-point lead for me, and then it's a reset because he was in my deployment zone, so nothing else. It just was a 2-point lead for me, and no chance to fire hammer in his game. Perhaps I had a chance, I don't know, but I choose to use all my influence to kill Velocity, last one with Hammer. Then I made myself a mistake, and Tower kept the ball, so beginning of the next activation, on the next round, Tower had the ball, and I couldn't get it from him without activating him, so it was difficult for the next round. But in this round, I just murdered Velocity and put myself a little bit forward, though, that Hammer can go to something next turn. That he did, and then it was a normal grind game. In the middle of the game, he put Velocity with Nimble and the ball in the middle of the pitch on an obstacle, and I didn't get her down there, and I really tried a lot of times to knock down, to tackle, to kill her. And nothing worked, so that gave Timmy the time to get his, I think, Magister and someone else, Ratchet perhaps. It's always Ratchet who gets killed.
It is.
Get him on the side of the pitch and try to kill mice, minis. I don't know what the final score was, but with the velocity, I probably had a knockdown with Hammer and scatter the bar and hope to get a fast goal. But if scatters in the wrong direction, he can get a goal. But I think at some point he got one, so I don't know. It was a difficult game, perhaps through the unconventional start, because I had not made forward momentum a lot. stood in my deployment zone, but I was 2-0 in the lead.
I think you've just given away some secret tech on how to beat Hammer. You just run one of your models like suicidally at your team and hold the rest of them back and let you kill him. I'm not sure how that ends in like a game-winning result, but I like this.
Yeah, why not? Yeah. I think Timmy can test it a little bit more.
He can. I'll mention that to him. Yeah, he was beating himself up about it. I had a chat to him about it after. Pretty important scenario to keep your eye on. But I guess, yeah, throwing in the overclock and forgetting you've used up the momentum, that's the big one there, isn't it? So, remembering counter charge.
Used the dodge, so everything.
Yeah, can't even dodge back.
I just need 1-5 to push her out with brick.
Yeah.
And if I hit the knockdown, which is... Yeah, it should be 50-50, something like this. Get a bit better, then... Yeah, it's just... Yeah. It does not work this way.
This is what I love about the Stoic models. You know, if you threw Colossus in that situation, okay, you're going to roll more successes. But, you know, Stoic, they come in, they try to push him over. Can't push him away on that first one. Fantastic engineers tech.
Yeah, and I played Wrecker. Again, I normally play Wrecker against some teams which I think will stay behind and shoot or control from their side on the pitch. So I played Wrecker with a double counter charge. It's a little bit better against something like this. But yeah, I had brick position correctly, so no chance this would work.
Yeah, nice. So with that, you go into the championship game at that point, although it was 12 of you at that for the tournament or for the Sunday. So yes. There was a pair down, wasn't there, or a pair up. So you kind of wait and see who won there, and then potentially you might have another game, which you ended up having. Is that correct?
Yeah, correct. So we had a fourth game.
Yep.
And there I played in Hammer Mirror again in the final. So it was a captain of Germany's third team, Dirty Mike, the guy in the
elevator. The man, the myth.
Yeah, and I think we played the exact same lineup.
Sorry, did this one go to clock then? Or?
No, standard Mason stuff. So the hammer, brick, marbles, maggot, tower, and flint, I think.
Yeah, that's pretty solid.
First, he made a kickoff with hammer and goes 3 lateral, goes in the aura from maggot and kicks 9 inches to my side. I had only positioned tower there, but I think the kick was really good. And if I want to get the ball, I could get the ball and gun way back, so hammer couldn't get to me. And then I played my first turn really good for the most part, so I just didn't use my hammer with a pass, with a give and go or something like this, to get him in his lines. So I just passed, and with my gas activation, I thought, if I shoot now a goal with Wind, he has dodged forward from the pass, so it will work. He has no problem go through the counter charges of the Ape and Brick. But if I shoot the goal, I will get... one influence, and for a hammer team I think it's important to get this one influence early in the game. It's really good for them. But I would or perhaps if a scatter is okay, his hammer can get to my tower with a pass and go. I decided to take the goal, and in hindsight, I should have better not. I should just kick back to Hammer and get him dodge 4 inches, won the initiative for the next round, and go in with Hammer. But Finn shot the goal, and the scatter was so that Hammer could run, pass, and go to tower. So he needed one to run, so couldn't charge. But again, he then won initiative and killed tower in the second round. And he had his friend on the side ready to shoot a goal, so I was a little bit behind. But then in the second round, so he killed tower, and my hammer went in on brick. It's normally brick or tough height models are not a good target for hammer, but my idea was to beat back brick into my team and legendary to kill him with the rest of my team. So he was in, I think. Mike didn't use the counter charge of the ape because he does nothing. I don't know. And yeah, I went and speedbagged Brick 5 times into my guy's Gatchengerried. He already had Gatchengerried with his hammer, and I beat Brick out of the Gatchengerried, so there was only Maggot and Flint in his legendary, and they were too far away to really get something done, except the Flint goal, but I can't prevent this anyhow. And then I killed Brick and had a really good board position in the middle, and he was really far off and had lost his centerpiece with Brick. So from this on, I think I was in a really good position, and I think I just killed one after another and shot probably a goal more or something like this. 2 goals to take out sounds about right for this game.
Nice. That does sound like a quicker kind of game.
I think it was really quick. It is also on the Twitch channel I mentioned before, the page 5.
Yeah, those page 5 dudes, they're good. They're good. We used to watch them when they, well, they still do, the WTC of the War Machine. It was a really good coverage. We watched that. There's a lot of German being spoken, surprisingly, so I was just asking translations half the time on the stream. So I think I did manage to ask Timmy to shout out it's a frickin' bear at some point, or choo-choo motherfucker, I can't remember.
Yeah, it sounds about right.
So with that, you win the German title, you book your golden ticket to the world final in Chicago in December. Were you pretty excited by that? Did it kind of hit you at that point?
Yeah, no, not so much, but I had a lot of difficulties finding out if I can get there because I work at school, so I can't normally take vacations, and it's not in the holidays. So, but I asked my chef, and he said, okay, I know I paid the €100 to get a passport with which I can travel to the USA, and I hope this is I get it in time, so that Zinfosh can book the flight, and then I will be there.
Brilliant. That is nervous times, but I'm sure we can at least charter a plane or do something to get you over there, because I think everyone wants to hear and see Hammer in that world finals set up and, you know, battling it out.
At the moment, I play Union. I don't know if I get my hammer out again.
Well, that's possibly a metaphor, but hey, look, you can play whatever you want.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, when you start looking at people or players who would be likely to take out the World Championship, I mean, your name would obviously be up there, right? You know, you guys did so well at the WTC. You're pioneering, I guess, captains that haven't been played. The general consensus across the Guild Ball community is that the German meta is doing stuff differently to the rest of the world. I'd say you're better than an outside shot. Do you consider that at all? I mean, have you thought about where you might sit amongst other players?
No, I really don't.
Do you know any of the other, like, the people that have qualified? I mean, we've interviewed, obviously, a few of them.
I don't know if other USA WTC teams qualified. I think so, though. I know a few of them.
Yeah, they're still yet to qualify. They've still got to have their tournament. They're nuts.
Yeah. So they've still got to play. I think, JJ won the English one. Obviously, our mate Peter, the New Zealander, won the Australian one. So, mm-hmm. I mean, by the teams as well, it's interesting that there's been a good spread of people winning with different, you know, teams, and it's not a indication of, like you said, whether you'll take Hammer, but it's not like last year where everyone was, you know, half the field played Morticians going into the world final. You know, there was this skew to just that one team, whereas, you know, it'll be interesting to see if we get a nice spread when everyone rocks up and, you know, see who can kind of champion their own guild as such.
By the way, I played against Hammer with my Union yesterday, and it really got a little bit my finger twitching.
Nice.
I almost had wanted to play Hammer again. I played him now for like years.
Why is that, Christian?
I don't know. I have a lot of fun playing him. Going in, beating people up, shooting goals, doing funny stuff. Mostly do funny stuff with feedback. It's just a really funny ability. with a push it in the playbook, so you can make a lot of really stupid stuff with it.
It's like a weird push dodge, isn't it? Because you kind of get the push dodge
just in a straight line. So with a angling from the playbook pushes, you can get them in the right straight line and then go after them. And he's a lot more mobile than he looks, and makes a lot more pushes and dodges than anybody else in the game. It's really funny.
Do you have a lot of scenarios where you can consistently beat people off the edge of the table with Hammer? Line them up and just...
No? Mostly not, because I'm just... Normally my game is in the middle of a pitch, in the opponent's half, but not on the table edge. Sometimes one opponent draws it to the edge, then it could happen. But I have the feeling mostly Hammer, if he shoves someone from the side of the pitch, he will get shoved off for himself. So
yeah, he is at risk there.
He has tough height and 18 hit points, so and can heal a little bit, so he's really difficult to kill, but not if you just push him off the pitch.
Yeah. Do you use Vet Harmony for that extra the damage on him as well? Like, you know, sitting her behind him and soaking up a bit of, you know, that tough hide damage?
Sometimes, but she normally just goes around the rest of the team. In the beginning, in the matchups I take her with, she clears conditions, and then she just run with it. And if I need the health points, then I get her take the damage, but I really didn't use it this much, or won't use this as much, because she's so squishy herself, and I really don't. I just give up the 2 points of Marriott or Tower, and then they come back, and if they are back in the fight, they have enough hit points to withstand further punishment and just get Harmony healthy. And she is capable on her own, so if Marriott or Tower will be killed and need 2 turns to get back, then Harmony just gets 2 or 3 influence, and she can hit other players pretty good. So
She can land the smackdown a little bit, absolutely.
I really don't want her to be sitting on 4 or 5 health and give away another 2 easy points, because if I use her to save another one, then I have like 4 possible points on the playing field, on the pitch. And mostly it's not worth it.
No, fair. I don't play Masons that much, so it was more a question, but I completely get what you're saying there. I think from what you've said, it's a situational maybe, you know, if they're trying to kill Hammer on that last one, he would have died. You could just soak that one.
If he has 5 influence and can use them, then I gladly take 8 life points off Harmony.
Yeah.
Something like this, but it really doesn't happen with Hammer.
Yeah, it's only if the trade is there.
For example, she saved Tower against Vincent Kirchhoff from Witness Me. Mm-hmm. So, and just taking 2 points in the process, so this is a really good trade-off. And for this, she's there, and for the rest I use her. Perhaps a marked target in the first turn if I can get it, something like this.
Nice. Yeah, I do like the marked target on her. It's very nice.
Yeah, and she's still quite fast as well.
Yeah, it's another fast Mason Pierret. What I especially like about Tower, he has a 8-inch sprint and a 6-inch kick and beatback. So he shot a few goals in his lifetime and just will and have hit a lot of people. Really like the new Tower, the Season 3 Tower. It's really good.
He's pretty quick, isn't he? He's a 3-6 kick.
He was quick all the time, but now with how the game works at the moment, his playbook is good enough and his feedback is good, and he is a perfectly third guy in man.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he's got a momentous tackle.
Mega Brick, first guy is Hammer alone, then Mega Brick, and Tower just goes in the middle of the pitch, can after I get a goal, he can take a goal and pass it forwards, or from there he can score for himself, or can go and kill other people. And he has 18 life points and defense 3 and armor 2 and an 8-inch sprint. So it's really good stat guy.
Yeah.
And with
And the ability to hand out sturdy as well, which is helpful.
Yeah, I think I used it against Timmy, but it's the only time I used it in OWTC and Nationals. It's really corner case. Because if I need something against Knockdown, I normally have Harmony with me too. But if I have the momentum, I take it, yeah, sure. If Harmony needs, because she is fast and is on the other side of the pitch, she needs to get the ball and passes back, and then I use the momentum to get my sturdy aura up so Bagista can't do anything to Hammer again.
You see something similar with Thresher, I suppose, in the way Millstone operates, like these big super solo captains who have that extra line of defense through the ability to pass conditions off elsewhere or prevent effects that would pretty much shut down their game. Particularly in the first
time. It's not a super captain thing, I think. It's a little bit about how these teams in general, like Farmers, like Masons, going to get into Alchemists or Engineer Guides. It's difficult at the moment as it is, but without such players, it should be almost impossible.
Yeah. Absolutely. Actually, I find so if you play much Farmers, because I was looking at them today, and their play style, I've played a little bit, is actually quite similar to the Masons. There's a few similarities. Their defensive stats definitely aren't. They're more less armor and more healing and just higher health pools, but their play style does actually seem quite similar to the Masons.
I think they move a lot more in one big, at least with Grange, in one big bubble, and they heal a lot with the healing. Like, Windel heals 12 a turn if he wants, and Tata heals 11. That's a lot of healing without GS.
No, it is fantastic. The healing's fantastic. I think
they all have 2-inch melee range. Masons, this is really a rarity. I don't think that they are... No, I don't think they play much of the same. They are, I think Farmer are a lot more on the broad side too. Masons, I really think, is total all-around team. I think like Mortician, something like this.
Are you saying, Cam, in terms of the way that the way that you can sort of center your game on like your captain, and then there's a whole bunch of support
pieces? Obviously there's a similarity with counter charge. You know, you've got the defensive or condition removal with, like, Cocky from Peck. And if you are playing Thresher, you know, you've kind of got that super solo killer slash goal shooting captain. I mean, that's probably where the similarities kind of end. I mean, they do play a different style. But, you know, Tower, you know, Tower's got that tooled up. You know, wants to sit behind support role. And Harrow does. I mean, I haven't played enough Masons to kind of roll it out and see if it mirrors the way I've basically played the Farmers. But, yeah, there were definitely similarities that I thought were there.
Yeah, the thing with Thresher is he is really killable and Hammer isn't. That was the first
thing. Yeah, that's fair.
And the second thing, he is really not that mobile. He has his 8-inch move and his ridiculous 3-inch melee range. And he can dodge if he knocks down, but how many players does he want to knock down in his turn? There's probably 1 or 2 inches of dodge in him, and then he just stands there. And with Hammer, every attack is movement.
I think you've really opened up our eyes to how much movement with the knockback, and that's kind of, it's quite interesting that, you know, a lot of people look at it and go, oh, you know, it's good to... Good to get a knockback and push someone, you know, out or in, you know, to someone else's melee zone. But by the sounds of it, you are constantly using that as a reposition or, you know, getting Hammer around the board. And I think that's maybe something that's what people are missing when they actually look at him. They look at it
more. I use it 19 out of 20 times. So
yeah.
And the last thing on Thresher is he has not a really good counter attack. He has a 2-inch megaphone zone, which is good. There he is obviously more than Hammer. But Hammer's counterattack is absolutely lethal. Most people can't get to him with 1-inch melee. Thresher's counterattack, he can knock down you, and then he has his 1-inch dodge.
Yeah.
I think it works on counterattacks.
Yeah.
And he has his 1-inch push. So if you get base to base to him, he will never get away. Never. And yeah. Hammer will automatically get away with one hit.
Yeah.
He is squishy and has a bad counterattack. So that is a lot of difference between these two
characters. So you don't think that Thresher, or do you think that Thresher is overpowered and will get an errata? Because there's a lot of people who believe that he's kind of, you know, the 3-inch melee in his own activation is a little bit overpowered.
He is good. He will kill something, sure, because he has a beta captain who has gotten his 3 influence practically because of his take 1 harvest marker away and make 3 damage.
Yeah.
So just like another attack. So he has burst damage, and with Tater together they have a lot of burst damage. So if I stand crowded, and sure, he will kill most players. He can use his legendary. That's another difference. He has a legendary which helps him to kill more. So he is a little bit more of a gas can, I think. He's not killed absolutely triple, but he's killed rather easily, and he makes a lot of damage.
Yeah.
So I probably would have a comparison to Figue. She is a lot more dodgy too and moves a lot more, but he has a little bit more of the gas can style, I think.
Yeah. No, fair.
Yeah, it does seem like Thresher plays a tempo game. You know, he wants to get up early stay up.
He wants to get up early, kills 2 guys, shoot perhaps a goal and kills 2 other guys, and hopefully it's turn 3 and not more.
Yeah. Do you think it's fair to say, Christian, that Hammer plays a more of a pressure style game? So he can get in there and just maintain pressure throughout the course of the game.
Yeah. Maintain pressure for 4 or 5 rounds, let the team go behind him, legendaries in turn 2 or turn 3, and just tries to build a dominant block position and works from there.
Right, yeah. So much more durable in that respect. You know, the tough hide, the healing, you know, the condition removal that he has access to in his team all just helps to maintain that pressure.
Yeah. For especially the counter charge bubbles, which help.
That's a good point. Yeah. You're changing the world, mate. You're changing the world. Dropping those hammer bombs, helping us understand, you know, the mind of Christian Metz. This is all good tech. Unless you're prepping for, like, a world tournament and you don't want to give your secrets away. But I imagine you're probably playing at a high enough level that it's not going to matter.
Don't forget countercharge.
Don't forget it.
Yeah, sure. What do you want to know? Sorry, I didn't grasp the question.
Oh.
No, it was just a statement.
I was just sometimes I say things just to add a little bit of flavor to the conversation, and that was just flavor text basically.
Okay, sure.
Yeah.
But normally I'm the person who reads the flavor text, so.
Well, I just like to try and keep it spicy, mate.
Sure.
Yeah. So Union, like you're still undecided. You don't know what you're gonna play.
At the moment, after the Nationals, I said, yeah, now it's enough with Masons. The next weeks I play Union. It's my second team I have. And we have a league, with Yucky in it, I think, at the shop near me. So I play in this league, and I thought, nah, I probably don't play Masons in there. There are a few of newer players, so I get my second team out, and there I at the beginning of season 2 and something like this, I played a lot of Veteran Rage. As he came out, and Germany also played Blackheart, and then a few months ago I played a little bit Union, and then I just played Blackheart and Brisket, I think, and now I play, like I said, because of what's in Gutter, because I haven't played really much of Gutter with Blackheart, I play this, and yeah, wanted to look how it is, and I killed like 4 Masons players in 2 activations yesterday, so it's really funny.
Yeah.
Gutter does that.
Just
Gutter with things. Red Fury and legendary stuff.
Yeah, it's disgusting. You should feel bad. I mean, it's hard to, but you should feel bad about yourself. Yeah, I played a game the other night against a guy. Played Scartha into Vet Rage. I mean, it's not a great matchup, but yeah, it doesn't help when you're walking your shit forward into Gutter's range either.
You won't never have a start in Gutter's range. No. It's really bad against.
You do not. No, it's just bad times. When you've got Cena knocked down and Gutter's right next to the bear, it's just curtains. It's good night.
It's just like whirling dervish and blood's flying everywhere at that point. Yeah. I've definitely had those games early on when I didn't understand.
With rage, you rep and then just pull one in, whirling gate, pull one in, whirling gate, always with one attack. And like four guys pulled in and four Skything ghosts, what it's called, Skything something.
Yeah.
Just ridiculous.
That Henry Kay game from the British Nationals is really, really good. Like, he played one game with Vetrage, and it was just a masterclass, man. Just pulling in shit with Gutter. It was really good to watch.
Yep, this and the one on Vincent Kirkhoff's channel.
Yes.
These two are the ones who were part. Yeah, I want to play this too. This looks really funny.
Yeah.
And I can play Season Brisket again, because with her legendary you can also make so stupid things. It's really funny too.
You know what? I'm coming around to Season Brisket again. Like, I've been looking at her card a bit lately, going, actually, she's pretty good at what she does. Even if somebody kills the ball, she's got crazy mobility. You know, you can still, you know, with her, find a good way to retrieve it, I think.
Yeah,
you can just kill something. I mean, with a 2 momentous damage on 3 with 1-2 crowd outs and her having 6 influence, a little bit hurt on the player, and then she goes in and just kills the player.
Yeah, absolutely.
If you have no, and gets like 7 momentum through it. 8 if it's in the turtle aura. So
yeah.
You both make me absolutely sick.
Oh, cheer up, Kevin. You can play her too, you know. Nobody's stopping you.
I've got her sitting there. I've got her sitting there on the painting table too.
Same as in Brisbane. Like you said, nobody will stop you because nobody thinks she's good.
No. I come from the goal scoring side of the game. Like, I just love scoring goals. But obviously, as the meta's changed and you need to be a bit more cagey about it, I can't help but still look at the super striker captains, you know, the ones that can score, that can dish out a bit of damage and just go, oh, I really just want to play that, score goals. So she fits into that category for me. I really like that. And coming from Alchemists, any captain with unpredictable movement is fantastic.
Yes.
Yeah, it is good. Mm. I do wonder if, you know, if we're moving to a control-heavy meta, whether, you know, pure aggression is the answer. Like, just these crazy fast, crazy aggressive goal threat games that punish slow games that control teams play.
Yeah.
Yeah, but at the moment, I think the control-heavy meta has the upper hand, because we are missing a little bit of the tools to really get in there effectively.
I've been considering stuff like rough seas or, you know, plays that retrieve balls. Even Salvo and Tetherball is a pretty... Like, it's kind of a tech piece to deal with teams that want to kill the ball by dropping it in a particular spot. You know, having him as a threat might be useful. Locust might be useful. I don't know. I'm just sort of thinking my way through it at the moment.
Yeah, but this is a part of the problem, because the answers you just presented are the ones in the teams who already play the keep away game and the control game, and they have the answers against the control team. So it's really not... it's normal to say for the Alchemist Smoke player, yeah, my bad or not so good matchup are the Ballista Engineers, which can get the ball, which can shoot back, which it's difficult to get the ball from, or the Fisherman, it's only cost there, so he can wreck and kill people, so the fight that he wants is in his half too, and he can rough seize the ball. But the teams which have a problem in the control game, like Masons, Butcher, Brewer, they don't have this kind of answers at the moment. Mm. One exception of this are, I think, the Blacksmiths, which play, I think they will not be a beta team with the 8 models we see. It's some kind of low scoring team, also one which draws out the game but tries to score goals. And I think they have, with Cinder, they have the tools to do this against the control matchup, Cinder and Half or something like this.
Yeah, that's a good point. Alloy is also he's very fast. Yeah,
he's just fast. yes.
Super fast.
That access to
Alloy,
like the 2-inch melee on a striker like that, is just like, it's berserk. It's so good.
Yes.
I can't wait for them to
drop. Back to the Shadows.
With back.
You have the plus net hits for Sketch, for Cinder, for Agoy to just tackle the ball in from different situation. In Cinder, who can kill an open ball from really far away. Mm. So yes.
Yeah, it's a hard one. Like, I, you know, I don't see an immediate answer. Like, there's no one team that jumps out and sort of provides the silver bullet, which is kind of a good thing in a way. I don't like it when it's too easy.
Yeah, but I think you're right that it's almost favoured, you know, these control teams, they match up against each other, and it just, at the highest level, it's a long game. Essentially, you just got to be prepared for that long, kind of grindy game. That's the way it kind of appears to me at the moment.
Mm. Yeah, grind and control the ball, because ball is an important resource, and then at the end, shoot a goal.
Yeah, like 4-1, you know. Like, sorry, 1-goal, 4 takeouts seems to be the default at the moment. And I guess this is where, like, Vet Cat or Casket, or even Cena to some extent, models that can truncate a control game, speed it up by a significant amount, seem to have a huge amount of value. And I wonder whether, like, to go full circle back to Vet Graves, I mean, maybe? But but you lose normal Graves. That's the issue.
Yeah, but I think the real problem is that the hard control teams, like Archimedes, Engineers, Hunter, Fisher, I think these four are the hard control teams. Two of the models you just counted again were from these teams.
Yeah.
So Brewers or Masons or Butchers have nothing to get in there and make a takeout for 4 points.
Yeah. And that just puts them at a massive disadvantage.
Yeah, that is a problem. If they could get their play in and get the points to just sit there and for like 2 or 3 turns and get destroyed, then after these 2 and 3 turns, they can't get balance the game out or can get the upper hand, and then they get destroyed again for 2 to 3 turns. This would be, I think, a lot better for the game. It's not, at the moment, I think it's not a problem, but it's interesting to see where it goes. But there are tendencies to this hard control game which are difficult to answer for a few of the guilds, because the answers are all in the guilds which already do this stuff. Yeah. Not in the guilds which are, I think, from the design point, thinking more straightforward and more broadly.
It's an excellent point, Christian.
Like models with Special Harmony, which alone isn't enough. It's not enough to get through. It's enough for Engineers at the moment, but it's not enough for Smoke.
No, not enough.
Perhaps something like Grace and the combo of Grace and Tamrock. I don't know if I really want two of these models in my 6-man roster, but these two can shut down a Smoke game, I think, pretty good.
Yeah. Well, Botsy, like Alex Botsy, is a big advocate of Grace in a Union lineup at this point. Basically as a counter to Smoke.
Yeah, I played Grace since she was out, because she's really good.
Yeah.
She's so good, this model. I think I heard him say he plays only in the Smoker because of Smoke, but I think she was good way before then because of the... She's a good backfield player. She gives her one influence of the team. She activates, and then she can heal, or she can make one faster. Yep. At the start of the game, she can make two guys faster, and she has a really good playbook, by the way.
She does.
Momentous dodge, and then a tackle momentous, and then a momentous tackle dodge, an 8-inch kick. So
she's a pocket striker as well. You know, if the goal presents itself, she can do it.
Yeah, just call her backfield striker, something like this.
Yeah.
And okay, 4-0 is squishy, but for her position, it's not so squishy because she has 15 life points.
Yeah,
she's in the last row anyhow.
Yeah, I've been substituting her in instead of in our farmer's lineup. I've been taking Windle, and so in the box, I take Windle and Bushel out and putting her and Tater in, and she's fantastic. Like, it just multiplies the healing. And she's as good a striker as Bushel, I find. Like, you sit her in the backfield, or even I've been playing her as a bit of a winger. And, you know, for snapback goals, it's so easy with her. Yeah, she's really good.
I'm a little bit sad that you take Windle out, because I think he's phenomenal.
Oh, he's fantastic. I just, I don't know.
Not against every team, for sure.
Yeah.
But against the Brogy teams, because he's a model which can one round hammer. And this is really bad.
And, I feel that's just a matter of perspective, Christian.
Yeah. the combination of Grace and Windu is also really good. Because Windu is not slow. With the dodges, he gets far enough in the field, and with Grace, he gets really far in the field. And if you have, I don't know, if you're scared that something will kill him, which a Mason captain or most captain or models with a lot of influence, with a lot of attacks, can kill him in one round, then just get him behind your guy and just take range and put tough hide on him, stand in the front and just wait for Windu if something comes in, or you go another 5 inches with your whole team in the next turn and just wait for the opponent.
You're a patient man. I don't think I have that patience in Gilball. This is my problem. Windle is fantastic and definitely on the outside looks slow, but yeah, definitely is not. I don't know. I had a bit of fun just one-shotting people with Tater. Like, Tater's charge with the extra damage is just, he's tooled up, is so much fun.
Yeah, I think I would probably look for the team, if I pick range, with both in it, Windle and Tater against Brogy teams.
Yeah, I guess if you're looking for the punch-up, that you definitely don't need some of the other players. I found, like with that team I mentioned, that I can just I can generate so many harvest markers that I'm basically with Grace sitting on 15 influence plus whatever harvest markers I take off there. So then if you're making sure you allocate influence to the people that are doing momentous, whatever, you know, whatever they consistently do, then the momentum race, you're so high in momentum and your healing is through the roof because you're just able to heal plus the, you know, heal off Harrow plus the, you know, heal off Grace. It's just so good.
You were talking about players being on certain rows. So, you know, you've got your front line, your midline, and your back line. I think intuitively people understand that, but it's not so easy to sort of roll a game out in that way. So is that kind of your broad approach to playing Guild Ball? You have a method that you employ. You know, there's always guys up the front, there's always guys in the middle. You've got your support pieces out back. Do you deviate from that sort of thing, or is it you know, that's the Mets method?
Okay, first thing, it's really fluid, so it's not set in stone or something like this.
Right.
But in a normal Hammer game, Hammer is the first one in the normally who makes enemy contact. So he goes in, kills stuff, and shoots a goal, and then dodges back. Or he gets in and beat back someone into his own team. So he's probably a playmaker. He gets me the influence for the next turn and damage. And if I'm getting lucky, a takeout. Or he sets up the rest of the team. Then normally I really want to have my counter charges to secure the rest of the game, the rest of the team, and secure Hammer as much as he can. Especially the Ape is a really good piece because he's a fast piece and normally he gets really no attention because of Yacht Creature and 4-1 defensive stats. Mm-hmm. So he can at the end of the turn go in and be an influence battery for Hammer. And then normally I have Maggot there. And these three guys, Maggot sometimes a little bit behind, but these three guys are the next line if you want to use this. And just the ones who can go or like will go in the scrimmage after Hammer. Because Brick has 2-inch melee range. Brick makes a lot of attacks in my teams normally too. Especially when Hammer is brought low and I don't want to have so much influence on him. And Marriott is a really good playmaker with his extended reach and single out, knockdown, forceful low charge. Yes, he has a lot of stuff and good kick and the kick aura. He has a lot of stuff which works really well in the midfield.
So would you extend like a similar approach to Union? If you were playing a Union game, you know, is somebody like Benediction your front line? You know, he's the tank up front. You know, does the same...
He is a little bit slow for the front line, but he is... I think he is in the same position as Brick, to think about it. Yeah. Because in the first turn he runs, and mostly runs, and then he just uses two turns to get 4 inches further to get in the rest. But I think I play at the moment, I play the Union a little bit too aggressively. But Veteran Rage is no hammer. he gets killed a little bit faster.
Yeah, he's a bit squishy.
Mm. I don't know.
You sort of got me thinking about, like, how do you then effectively deploy teams? How do they want to play in the space that they've got? You know, just, yeah, a bit of a sidebar, I suppose.
Yeah, it just really depends on if I receive or kick. If I kick, then my frontline player missed in the Union. Yeah, missed is often my frontline. It's not like Hammer, but he is it. But if I kick, Hammer kick, and the rest of the team stands really compact behind him, so that I have a Brick and Ape after two activations on each side of his, like 4 inches apart. Tower behind him for influence battery and two it up. Maggot a little bit on the side and Flint on the far side. And if I receive, I see a lot of people don't go wide if they receive, or as wide as they must if they really want to get the ball from the kickoff, and doesn't matter where the ball goes, because I see a lot of really greedy kickoffs, and if this works, then fine. Then a lot of times the receiving team can't get to the ball, and mostly it just works a little bit or works that doesn't work, so the receiving team will get the ball, although they didn't spread out to get to almost anywhere on the pitch. So, like, in one third of the games, receiving team has, yeah, they have ground to cover to reach, to get to the enemy teams, and then they need to do it without the ball, and this is really bad for them. If you deploy a lot more centered around your team, you have a better position if you get the ball as receiving team. But I tend to, like I said, spread really far. Look that I have Flint on one side because he can get the ball and shoot it back to my team. It doesn't matter where. And like Tower and Harmony or the Ape or Wrecker on the other side, so they can just they can divide the other side between them. So I will get the ball, except it's really, really shot with a really good, it's called scatter.
I mean, there's also an art to kicking off like an asshole as well, right? that should be a whole kind of one day tutorial, how to kick off like an asshole in Guild Ball, because you know you can really set up some awkward situations for people.
Yes, yeah, you can. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think the big one to look at is the
Granite first turn recovery before first turn recovery. Was...
Oh, that's awesome.
Have you seen it?
No, but I can picture it. Like, I take it you've done it to people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Would you like to walk us through it,
Chris? It worked one time, yeah.
Yeah?
What
happened?
Yeah, you need a fast ground, like 6 inches from your side of the deployment, distance of 6 inches. So you stay. You go with Granite just before it. You go. You take your 3-inch dot, 3-inch move in the field, kick the ball with her, hope that it just scatters like 1 inch, just on the other side of the table, or 2 inches, and then you take the, what do you call the rule that gets to make a move after the kickoff, go into the fast ground and go into the side, in the half of your opponent before the first turn. And get the ball back. She will get tackled or something like this if there's a striker there, but it's funny nonetheless.
Yes. There's nothing like living the dream. It's one of those Guild Ball corner cases that if it comes off, you know, you basically get the ticket off your list.
And then 1 inch into the enemy half, so it's enough if the ball scatters like 1, 2, 3 inches if you just put it a little bit on your side. But it's obviously it's risky and mostly it's not good for anything, but it's funny.
Yeah. like all of the best things. Well, did you have anything that you wanted to talk about before we wound things up, or you know, is there a particular subject you want to cover, or do you want to send a threat out to anybody via this podcast? Any of your competitors?
if I would know my competitors, I could do it, but I don't know anyone, so...
No shade thrown.
Fair. We'll throw some shit around for you. That's fine.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, if I would know them on a more personal, then I could throw a lot more personal insults, which would be more effective.
It would be.
I can't say they don't know how to play Guild Ball or something like this, but...
You really need to be doing it in a very personal way. Like, it's got to be vindictive, right? Otherwise, what are you doing?
He said we can't play Guild Ball or, bad play or something like this, but I know I am not, so what the fuck does he tell us? Doesn't work this way.
Yeah. You just stare at him blankly.
Yeah, and you lick your lips a little bit as well. I find that works.
You're licking your lips right now.
I went to the awkward place again, didn't I?
Yeah. It's a fine line in podcasting.
This is where I live.
Christian, you're a champion, mate. Thank you very much for giving up some time to chat to two dickhead Australians, or at least one. Dave's less of a dickhead than me.
That's debatable.
Yeah, thanks for having me again. It was a little bit unexpected. Right before the interview, I really didn't know what to talk about, but okay, thanks. Thanks for having me again.
Neither do we. We have no idea what we're about to talk about. That's half
the month. You had three questions ready at the beginning.
Yeah, but we literally wrote them 1 minute before we got you on the line.
Okay.
That's how we roll, mate.
Sure. The best way to roll.
Exactly.
Just hope it goes down the hoop.
Yep. Yeah. Good luck at Worlds. Thanks. I'm sure you don't need it.
Thanks a lot.
All right, mate. Thank you.
All right. Take it easy. Welcome back. That was a very nice little interview there. I enjoyed that, David.
I always enjoy interviewing people. I mean, we've done 25 of these podcasts, and I know that's half the number of singled out, but I'd like to think it was twice the quality.
Oh, boom. Have that, Andrew. In your face. Nice. I really enjoyed it. Christian's a top bloke. He put up with our Australianisms and, gave us some next level tech that I don't think we thought about. So that was good.
Yeah, I feel we all grow as people.
Indeed.
So thank yous. Who do we need to say thank you to this time,
Kevin? Thank you to our Patreon. So I'll just do a little interlude with that we've got a Patreon account. It helps fund our addictions, namely talking on podcasts, because we love it. But basically, this stuff doesn't get done for free. We've got web hosting costs, a whole bunch of other stuff.
Sometimes it barely gets done at all.
Yeah, exactly.
Honestly, there's some days where I'm just ready to put my head on the road and let a truck take me.
And that's just the intermission and a Double Dodge podcast. So if you go to patreon.com/doubledodge, you can sign up for $1, $5 or $10 a month. We appreciate anything. We do it for the love. You get things sent out to you, namely widgets, stubby holders, and our love for doing this in various levels. And we have had a Richard Keeling, What a Champion, signed up for the HI Fish Positive, which is tier 2, the $5 a month. And that's massive. Like, that actually means a lot to us. So you're a champ. You're wasting your money on us, but we love you.
Yes, so your lovely Double Dodge merch will be winging its way to you shortly. We know it's getting there. Big shout out to our boy Jared McGraw. He sent me a message this week. His merch got there. Very happy to see it get there. It's beautiful stuff. So you do get something in return. We try and look after you. Thank you for your continued support.
Absolutely. It really helps us out. And speaking of helping us out, there is a big man. He's a myth. He's a legend. He's Big Daz from NerdvarnaGamesSA.com. He sponsors us. And by sponsorship, he just basically gets us beer and makes us laugh at all sorts of hilarious conversations at national tournaments.
Do you know what I heard about Big Daz? Do you know what I heard about him? He doesn't get wet. Water gets Big Daz.
I don't get that, but I still find it highly amusing. Fantastic.
Right. Just laugh away your pain, Campbell.
I know. This awkward silence. No, he's a legend. He fuels the Guild Ball and other gaming communities with his merch. He's a champ and sponsors a shit ton of tournaments over here. So, NerdvarnaGamesSA.com for all your Guild Ball needs.
He'll help you out. Good old Big Daz. Anybody else we need to say thank you, hello to? Anybody you want to insult? through this medium?
Oh, I always like insulting people. I think we should probably shout out for the next big national tournament here. I know there's obviously stuff going on November, December in terms of the world community, but CanCon is coming up for all the Aussie listeners, Aussie gamers. So that's in Canberra. We love that because basically we go there, get drunk, play games over an entire weekend and catch up with people. So it's over the Australia Day weekend. So I believe the Friday is the 26th, 27th and 28th of January is kind of where it spans. Mm-hmm. Get over there. There's some there's a Guild Ball tournament that's being run by one Ed Lambeck. He's a champion of Canberra. And also a fucking good player. And, yeah, go over. It's one of our biggest kind of cons.
At the time of publishing this, it's November, pretty much.
Yeah.
It will come up fast. So we're hoping to get 32 people at least. Be good to try and get a tournament that is worthy of national size. Let's make it big. Let's make it tumescent, proud, standing upright.
Erect, even.
Yes.
Did I go too far?
Sorry. I just started freestyling and it got awkward.
I know. I stepped over the line again.
Don't blame yourself.
I'm looking at it right now, actually. There's some wicked photos online. And for us, for the Aussies, like, there aren't too many, you know, huge kind of gaming conventions. There are a few. But this is one of them. It's definitely worth it just to even pop in, have a look, play some games. There's some kind of free play areas. The Guild Ball will be on the Saturday. Sunday, there will be plenty of Guild Ballers around to hook up and grab a table and smash out some games. So we love chatting to people. If you want to redeem your Patreon voucher of, I think, level one is us just yelling, it's a freaking bear at you at a tournament, then you can redeem it at the CanCon.
Sure. If we get drunk enough, we'll do the Batwing for you.
I think I just had some wine go up my nose then.
Really?
Yeah.
It must be nice to afford wine. I just have to.
It is.
I have to make prison wine, man. I just put fucking orange peels in a bread bag, leave it in the toilet for a few days.
Nice.
None of your fancy bullshit.
Sorry, I use real grapes.
La-di-da.
Oh, I know.
La-di-da, grape boy. All right.
I even got some coon cheese out the other day and just, you know, put it down.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, this is a cheese platter.
You are got basically the bourgeoisie.
Ah, absolutely. Mm. Absolutely.
Bread bag, prison wine.
Very highbrow.
What are we even doing, Campbell? What are we even doing here?
I have no idea. Having fun, apparently.
Uh-huh.
Mm.
All right. Well,
so,
that's another one.
On that note, 25, quarter of a century.
Yep.
We'll get to 50 at some point. We might both be dead at that point.
Do you know what, Cam? I think we need to take the slow road there.
Mm.
I don't think we need to be in a mad rush to hit numbers. I think, you know, life is about the journey, right? Not about some
Absolutely.
Arbitrary system of measurement that, you know, some podcast in England may feel is relevant. Talking all the time is not listening.
Yeah. No, I completely agree. And all our lives are essentially just an arbitrary point on an indeterminate scale, correct? So none of us really know where we are in that.
All I know is that this constant feeling of existential dread is what carries me through. And maybe that explains why Mountain talks so much.
Ah.
He's just got to silence that feeling, that buzzing in the back of his skull, you know? You will die, you will die. You're going to die, Mountain. Just let it go, man. Let it happen. Maybe sooner rather than later for all of us.
Shout out to those guys that singled out. We do love them, maybe, a little bit. Andrew's okay.
He's all right. He goes all right.
Yeah.
Yep.